going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Think about this for a second. The team you're facing is your fault. Let's connect the dots. The New York Knicks ended the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce era. Beat them in six back in 2013, as we recall. 3-0 lead, lost game four, lost game five, and held on and won game six. That was it for Pierce and Garnett. Celtics decide, okay, it's over. Knicks broke us. So they sell off Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to another basketball team, and they get a ton of draft picks. Those draft picks turn in to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The New York Knicks not only broke the Celtics, they created this. So, if the Celtics destroy the Knicks in this series, just remember whose fault it is, Carmelo Anthony.
I can't believe you must have got some amount of sleep this weekend. Boy, you are sharp as a tack. You come in with this whole upset thing, and now you're blaming the Knicks for the Garnett Pierce trade?
Spot the
you are hot stuff today.
Spot the lie.
Unbelievable.
Is that not spot on? The Knicks broke the Celtics and then accidentally created a monster.
Yeah, your idiotic basketball team brought those two dinosaurs fossils in, and your team did it. The Nets,
Tommy,
not the Knicks.
Tommy, nobody cares about the Nets. We're talking about how the Knicks broke
We're
the Celtics.
We're talking about how you're changing history and the course of history to make yourself feel better.
The Nets still in the league.
Your franchise did this, not mine.
Well, if they didn't beat the Celtics that year, none of this would happen.
I need to pose a question to you, Evan, while we're still on it. If you're just tuning in, you missed the beginning of the show. Evan is claiming that the Celtics-Knicks series, the Knicks upset, would be a bigger upset than Super Bowl 42. Correct?
Backed up by the math.
Backed up by the math. Okay.
You'd make more money betting the Knicks and being right than you would have betting the Giants and being right. So it's backed up by the math.
If the Yankees play tonight, and we're going to monitor this, what do you think would be a bigger upset to you?
Go ahead.
The Knicks beating the Celtics in this round or Aaron Judge hitting two home runs tonight?
What would be a bigger upset?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The Knicks beating the Celtics.
The Knicks beating the Celtics would be a bigger upset to you?
Yeah.
Because the odds tell you at plus 1,300, Aaron Judge hitting two home runs tonight would actually be a bigger upset in sports. So if you just want to lean on the odds, you can thank FanDuel Sportsbook for that. That's actually a bigger upset, Evan.
Touche, sir. Touche. And speaking of the Yankees, please set a clock for me at exactly 3:03. I have an issue with Aaron Boone that needs to be addressed. So we'll get to that coming up, but we are talking Knicks. Do you believe in this team tonight? And do you agree with me that if somehow they win 4 out of 7 games against the Celtics, it would be one of the great New York upsets we've witnessed in the last 50 years? 888-808-1019. Craig is calling from Lincraft. How are you, Craig?
I'm pretty good. I want to talk to some Knicks about this upset.
Yes.
Celtics in 4! Jason Tatum owns you!
Wow.
It's not a bad prediction.
I was not going to cut that off. He has every right to call up this radio station.
You get your 3 seconds of fame, your family, and all your buddies got to listen to you on the radio for 2 seconds. I can't believe that. You know, we got a new producer in here today, Paulie Rosenberg, so we're a little bit not as sharp as we usually are. You allowed a Celtic fan to get through security there. He
you know
plays as a Knicks fan. Shut up.
I won't lead us.
I'll tell you why they're welcome here. I did my research this morning by listening to Boston Sports Talk Radio.
Good for you.
Just to get their temperature. I love to do that. I love to kind of get the taste of things. Did that with Detroit, right? I was listening to Valenti and Rico last week and analyzing what they were saying. Do you know what they were talking about in Boston this morning?
The Tristan Casas injury?
Yes! I don't even think they know a playoff series is about to begin.
They moved on from Belichick being held hostage, I guess.
Belichick being hostage is a big discussion. The Tristan Casas injury and how mediocre the Red Sox are, big discussion. And the Celtics in Boston are an afterthought. And you want to know why? Because they don't respect you. That's why. They don't respect the New York Knicks. And if you ask the people in Boston, what would they be more stunned about? Losing the way they did over a decade ago in the Super Bowl or losing this series? They'd probably say this series. They're barely paying attention to it.
You're hot stuff.
Let's go to Jim in Madison. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Listen, this is what's going on here. Evan's being a troll. You know how you guys have the L chain that you wear? You need to make a T chain for a troll.
Well, who am I trolling?
I like that.
Who am I even trolling? I don't even know who I would be trolling with that comment.
You're trolling the Knicks and the Giants at the same time.
It's a double troll.
The Giants Super Bowl was a bigger upset. There's a difference between statistical upset and historical upset. Case in point, the three playoff series that you mentioned before that you kind of just went right over that were bigger odds than this.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell us who they were, I'm sure no one would compare them to the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl.
Because
that was a bigger upset.
No, because you don't care about it. So because you don't care about the Warriors beating the Mavericks, the upset didn't happen? I mean, that's the adage of, well, if I didn't see the tree fall and I didn't hear the tree fall, the tree never fell.
But isn't an upset memory, too? How many people remember the Warriors Mavericks?
But that's
upset?
Not the argument. Of course, it is the argument. The Giants beating the Patriots, and I've said this before, I'll say it again just so you hear it. The Giants beating the Patriots is the greatest championship run I've ever seen. And I don't think there's anything that could top it, honestly. Like, I'd love to see my team win. I'd love to see the Jets win. But I don't think there's anything that can match the script of going to Dallas, going to Lambeau, the red Tom Coughlin face, and then combine that with the perfect season of the Patriots. So no one's arguing that.
But isn't it part of an upset, though?
No, it's the mere shock of winning a series that you're asking the Knicks to do. Pound for pound, it would be a greater upset.
But shock lasts, Evan. Shock lasts forever. You will never forget that night of Super Bowl 42. The Celtics-Knicks, I mean, to be determined how it happens, but it tells me it's going to be more forgettable.
Matt's calling from Bayshore. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Love the show, as always. I wanted to chime in on a couple points you're making today. Number one, the king of New York is whoever hoists the trophy. And let's be real. We haven't seen any trophies get hoisted in a little while right now.
So Eli is still the king of New York.
Yeah, Eli's the reigning trophy holder, if you will.
At the moment.
Yeah.
And as far as whether or not the Knicks can pull off this huge upset, number one, Evan, you got to tone it down a little bit because I can hear the glee in your voice in the anxiety that are facing Knicks fans at the moment. And should the Knicks pull off this upset, it is must-listen radio the day after to hear you have to eat crow.
Well,
I don't think this would be the biggest upset in New York sports. I got to say the Giant-Patriot Super Bowl, and you brought up Islander-Penguin series. I am old enough to remember the Cup years. That series was one of the purest moments of joy in my life because no Pierre Turgeon, because two-time defending Cup champions Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr. But David Vlahek scored the winning goal. Anybody else remember David Vlahek? I doubt it. We'll see. The Knicks have a puncher's chance. I want to see what happens. They got to play great, but it's not impossible. Thanks, guys.
It is not impossible, and that is the beauty of sports. Now, one of the possibilities, and I'm certainly not banking on this, I don't think any Knick fan can, is the catastrophic injury. Because the catastrophic injury can change everything, especially in the NBA.
Yeah.
But if there is no catastrophic injury, because, look, one of the big upsets in NBA history that I haven't mentioned, but one of them on the list in terms of greatest money line shock over the last 30 years, was the Sixers beating the Bulls in 2012. Tom Thibodeau actually coached that Bull team, but the reason behind that was Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose's injury,
Derrick Rose tore his ACL, which helped propel an 8 seed in Philadelphia to knocking off Chicago. So I think that changed kind of the complexion of that kind of upset.
And let me ask you something, Evan, since we want to do apples to oranges. You never root injury. You never do any of that. Where does the math lie on a better chance an injury does happen? Playing seven games or playing one game?
Oh, playing seven.
Okay.
Especially in the NBA when the Celtics and the Knicks have all had their share of injuries. Now, as we go into tonight, it's a clean injury report, which is great. It's great for this series. Jrue Holiday missed a few games of the hamstring issue, not on the injury report.
I don't understand how this is legal, by the way.
How what is legal?
In the NFL, if these two teams with their current injuries, and they were NFL teams, submitted this, there would be fines and investigations into lost draft picks. How the NBA, who's in bed with gambling, has the nerve to allow teams to submit clean injury reports is a joke.
Well, they're going
to
play. I mean,
we
that's really what it
Tatum's
comes down
not 100%.
To. But he's going to play. Same with Jaylen.
Okay, but there's playing, and there's acknowledging that they're playing banged up.
Yeah.
When it comes to making a marriage with gambling, it's a lie to the casual bettors to look at an injury report and go, oh, everybody's fine. Everybody's not fine.
No, I get you.
How is this legal in the NBA?
It's a fair point. I don't care that much about it, but it's certainly a fair point. The Knicks are banged up. The Celtics are banged up, but they're actually not listed as being injured on the injury report. You are listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM-HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Before we get back to your calls on the Knicks and where this upset would rank in New York sports history.
We're leaning into kicking ass.
Yeah, Aaron, I got an issue with you. Now, Sean, you watch every second of every Yankee game,
so if you
want to defend Aaron Boone, you have every right to. It's totally your game. Obviously, Sunday was not a pretty performance. They were trailing 5-0. They were trailing 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
And the New York Yankees, who've scored more runs than any team in the American League, for the record.
Have the two best hitters in the American League right now.
Do they? Well, Aaron Judge, clearly. Who else?
Paul Goldschmidt.
Goldie's the second? Yeah. There's no one else in the American League having a better year than Paul Goldschmidt?
At least heading into yesterday.
How about that?
Also, by the way, I'm using an antiquated batting average stat, but nonetheless, it's going to play for my argument.
Oh, so you're saying your batting average point. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Yankees score runs in bunches. So they're down by 5 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning, and they begin to rally. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge rips a double. Cody Bellinger draws a walk. My man Goldie rips a single. Jason Dominguez rips a single, one that actually went off the freaking fence. It was hit so hard. And so here the Yankees are. They're down 7-3. They got the bases loaded, and they got nobody out. And you have on your bench Benjamin Rice, Benjamin Aloysius Rice,
mm-hmm.
and you have Austin Wells. Now, you also have Anthony Volpe, who I understand Aaron Boone already said that, didn't want to go to him, not available.
And clearly wasn't available, by the way, Ascara had to play third.
Yes. Bases loaded, nobody out, down by 4 runs. I am using one of my chips immediately. Now, I get they can't pinch it for Ascara, they can't pinch it for Vivas, and they can't pinch it for Peraza. They can't pinch it for all of them, because with Volpe not available, you're going to run out of players.
Yeah.
I get that. And so Boone's explanation after the game was, well, you know, there's nobody out. I got to pick my spots, blah, blah, blah. Didn't even make any sense. You got to go in for the kill and use one of your big chips with bases loaded, nobody out, and not let J.C. Ascara come to the plate and risk what he ended up doing, which was tapping into a double play. I freaking hated it. So then Ascara grounds into a double play. Vivas comes through with a big hit. And then he uses Ben Rice to pinch it for Oswaldo Cabrera. Well, hold on a second. Use Ben Rice 2 batters earlier. I'd rather let Cabrera hit and stay in the game than keep Ascara in the game. Or, if you want this to be clean, just use Austin Wells, who has to come into the game anyway. Or Ben Rice could catch. Like, no matter how you cut it, I freaking hated it. I think he needed to go for the kill. You got bases loaded, nobody out, and you can't allow J.C. Ascara to come to the plate and let that rally get killed.
There's no question he screwed that up, but he also left himself in a position to screw it up. My biggest issue with Aaron Boone reared its ugly head again yesterday, Evan, setting up his failure.
What was that?
His failure wasn't the way he handled the 8th inning. His failure was pregame. Look, Anthony Volpe gets hurt the day before. All right? He's unavailable. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is on the IL. Aaron Boone's entire Yankee career here as a manager, he constantly does this. He double dips the day off. If Ben Rice is so freaking important to hit behind Aaron Judge and lengthen the lineup, which he's admitted to, Boone, he loves him back there.
Yeah.
Then why on a day where you're giving Austin Wells the day off and you already know Jazz is on the IL and you know that Volpe is unavailable, why would you double dip the Wells and Rice days off to begin with? The whole lineup was short, and the reason they're down 5 runs, on top of the fact that Will Warren and Carlos Carrasco suck, the other reason is They left themselves, I mean, yesterday, 5-9, that was an embarrassing lineup they tried
out. That was
out
one
there.
Of the worst 5-9s I think I ever remembered.
Now, could he have made up for it and pitch hit Wells or Rice for a score? Yes.
6-9, to be fair, because
okay.
I like the
Mariners. Fine, you're right. He should have pinch hit, no doubt about it. But he's also putting us in a position to second-guess him when he trots that back end of the lineup out. There was no reason Ben Rice had to sit yesterday when Austin Wells was already sitting and you were without Volpe.
Especially when you put yourself in a spot where you know you're down Volpe, so you don't even have the full capabilities of just unloading your bench
right.
because Volpe can't come into the game.
Why would you position yourself in a lineup like that? And also, Aaron, use your mind. There's rain in the forecast the next 3 days. God only knows when we're playing these Yankee games. Maybe they play tonight, maybe they don't.
Right.
Yesterday you knew you were playing.
No, I think that's fair.
Judge could have played right, you DH Ben Rice, and your lineup is lengthened.
I think that is completely fair. I just know in that moment when you have bases loaded, nobody out, and we all love the J.C. Ascara story. It's
great.
Beautiful that he made the team.
Great.
I can't have him up in that spot.
Great, yes.
It's as simple as that. And I'll worry about the Vivas at-bat. I'll worry about the Cabrera at-bat. I'll worry about the Peraza at-bat when I get there. Because the truth is, Austin Wells or Ben Rice, whoever you want to use, could rip one up the alley, and all of a sudden, it's a completely different game.
Bless his heart. Uber driver, great story. Guess what? I ordered food last night. It took forever, okay? I'm crediting that driver deserves a round of applause if he goes up and plays catcher for the Yankees. I don't care about your sob story. It's a great story. If you can't hit in that spot, pinch hit. Stop making a guy a cult hero because he was an Uber driver. I'm sorry. Can't happen. I care about what you do on the baseball field.
There you go. Well said.
Now, so what you do with your side hustle.
We're in agreement then, basically.
We are, but I still think the problem nobody pointed to is before the game.
Well, I look.
And
think
you know what? I'll go one more problem.
Yeah.
Cashman, the bench stinks. There's no reason the bench needs Peraza and Pablo Reyes on it. That both those guys.
It's not a great bench right now.
Come on.
And I'll tell you, watching the Yankees over the weekend and watching the Mets over the weekend did lead me back to, boy, it just makes sense to bring Arenado in.
Yeah.
Not because he still can hit. He can hit. Like, offensively, he's better than Oswaldo Cabrera. He's probably better than Pablo Reyes and Yorbit Vivas, though we haven't seen enough of Vivas.
And Vivas got a nice hit yesterday.
Absolutely. So I'm not saying Nolan Arenado is the old Nolan Arenado, because he's not. But my God, defensively, he makes an impact.
Yeah.
Makes a huge impact.
He just lengthens everything.
He just makes so much. He makes such an impact defensively. And I can't believe I'm saying this about a position like third base. We can almost live with his bat if his glove is going to be that good. It's worth reassessing as we get closer to the trade deadline. But it looks like Anthony Volpe avoided major injury. What happened on Saturday was so bizarre because when he goes down, it looks like he's dead. It looks like it's over for him.
I thought he was going to cry.
I thought he was going to cry. I thought he was going to come out of the game. He stays in the game and then makes a huge miscue that contributes to them losing. So it was just a real double doser on Volpe. But we'll see if he's in the lineup tonight or even if the Yankees play. Like I mentioned, we're going to keep you posted throughout the day. There is a lot of rain in the forecast, so it doesn't look very promising. But as of right now, game is on. Carlos Rodon against Nick Pivetta.
And the Padres only come in, and we already ran into this issue where the Yankees basically played the monsoon and boom, waved the white flag.
The Yankees have one thing going for them.
Oh, Volpe, by the way, is in the lineup. It just came out.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good news for Anthony Volpe. The Yankees are off on Thursday, and so are the Padres. And the weather is supposed to be great. So I know the Padres probably don't want to stick around for an extra day, but like you said, they only come in once, and instead of flying back at a later date or playing a doubleheader in a rainstorm, Thursday could be a day the Yankees and Padres make up one of these games if they can't get them in.
Carlos Rodon pitching frustrated in raindrops. What could go wrong tonight?
Everything.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave and Cranford.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For New Jersey. How are you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing great, man. You guys make me... This is crazy because my only problem, Evan, is... I love all three of you. I ain't even a Met fan. And you know what? I listen to your Rico Bronya podcast.
Thank you. Because I feel like there's an insult coming, but I do appreciate it. That's very nice of you.
No, it's not really an insult. But
go ahead.
So, no, the only difference is when Tiki's not there, the level of like vitriol between the three of you is like off the charts. It's amazing. I love it.
I agree.
I'm not saying I don't love it, but like, you know, Tiki's the guy that, like, keeps the temperature down. So,
especially,
like,
no, you're right about that. Especially with Tommy. Like, I think Tiki Barber is the greatest buffer for Tommy because there's still a part of Loogie, I don't know if he'll admit this, that still wants to impress the football player he loved growing up. And he doesn't want to be completely unhinged in front of Tiki. So I think there are, as crazy as Tommy is, I think he tones it down like a slight little bit because he doesn't want to embarrass himself in front of Barber. But I'll tell you, when Tiki's out, he loses his mind, right? Right, Tommy?
I would say I have better bedside manner when Tiki is here. Another thing that Tiki brings to the table is he could tell me what vitriol means because I have no idea what that word means. I just know we're nasty to each other. Yeah, we're like brothers, and when Tiki's here, he's like the adult to say, well, all right, children, settle down.
You know what else? Like, if you guys are arguing and I pick a side, or me and Tommy are arguing and Sean picks a side, or me and Sean are arguing, whatever combination you want, it always feels like the person siding with someone else is picking on the other. Tiki, as the voice of reason, will just tell you the damn truth. He'll just be like, hey, you're wrong about this, Evan. Or, hey, Sean, you got this one a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
So,
except when it comes to tanking at the end of a season, in which case Tiki's
he's definitely wrong on that.
That's when you guys lose your mind. Let's go to Jerome and Hazlitt. How are you, Jerome?
Guys, you're killing me with this argument. You're absolutely killing me with this argument. You know, you got to factor in the round of the playoffs that the upset takes place, and you also got to factor in you're putting up a team. You know, a sport where you play one playoff game against another sport where you play it's a series. But a Knicks to mirror what the Giants did in 2007, they would have to beat the Celtics this round, they have to beat the Cavaliers next round, and then they got to beat, like, the Thunder or whoever.
Well, with all due respect, you're dead wrong, but my favorite part of your phone call is not even that. My favorite part of your phone call is, basically, I hate this argument, it's the dumbest thing ever, but let me opine. That's my favorite part. This argument's driving me nuts. Now, let me give you my opinion on the subject. Now, the argument's kind of, it's blowing my brains out. I got to be honest with you. Because I don't see how you can't see how big of an upset this would be in comparison to winning a singular game. And it is the nature of the sport, but it's a big part of it.
Undefeated.
The Knicks are being asked to not beat the Celtics one time, which they couldn't do in the regular season. And if they did, Tommy would have had a party. You're asking them to do it four times in seven games. The magnitude of trying to pull something like that off is not just, hey, we had a good Sunday. We had a great defensive game plan. We got to the quarterback. We made some plays.
Yeah.
It's doing it four times. Four times. And again, put this in perspective. The Boston Celtics have played 24 postseason games since the start of last year. Really, since the 3-0 failed comeback, as I like to refer to in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat. And since then, they have lost four times. They are 20-4. And you're asking the Knicks to match that total, not in 24 games, but in seven games. Put that through your head and understand the magnitude of what the Knicks are being asked to do against this Boston team.
How many point favorite is it? I didn't even look at this. Are the Celtics tonight?
I think it's about 8.5 or 9.
Nine
in NBA terms?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because just for a singular game, the 15-1 Packers in Giants 2011, the Giants were 9-point underdogs.
That's one game!
So is tonight.
Yeah, but they got to do it four times. That's my point.
So there you go, folks. Another upset that's bigger than the Knicks and Celtics. Giants-Packers 2011, 15-1 Packers.
You're dead wrong. Unfortunately, you're letting your fandom block your vision. I'm not.
I hate the Celtics.
Okay, I'm not a Giant fan or a Knicks fan. I got no axe to grind. I'm not double trolling. I'm being honest. It's a bigger upset.
Nah, you know what? I'm hip to your act now. I know what's going on. Okay. I know what's going on because I've been there, Evan.
You've been where?
You want the Knicks fan to believe. And you want to put your hands up and go, I believed in you. Look, I even said it would be a bigger upset than this, but I'm believing in you.
No, I don't want the Knicks fan to believe. Like, I kind of enjoy the Knicks fan going into a series thinking they have no chance.
I think you like them climbing that roller coaster up of emotion and watching them crash down. I think that's what you like.
You think that's the case, Tommy?
No, I think Evan, I think Evan, if I could imitate Evan, he would go, it's sports, and anything can happen
sports. It's true.
And you know what? It is true.
Thank you.
Why should we even bother playing the games? Let's just have all the favorites meet in the finals.
Bro, Josh Hart said it the other day, and he's so right. Like, why are we playing the games then? Like, we all know, and we're going to go through the details on what the Knicks are going to have to do to win this series. Like, it is a lot of little stuff they're going to have to pull off. We all get that, but don't give me it can't happen. Like, I'll sit here and cite upsets all day. They may not be as big as this one, but they're pretty big. And I'll give you one right off the top, since you like to compare winning multiple football games to winning a series.
Okay.
In which, as a football team, you can't lose one time. If you do, you get eliminated. But in basketball, you can lose once and still have a series. How about the upset of the Mets getting to the NLCS after they were dead and buried last year?
That's right.
I mean, think about that. That is the epitome of the beauty of sports.
I was more stunned by the Mets making the NLCS than I would be if the Knicks beat the Celtics.
The weird thing Joe Mazzulla does to Jason Tatum in the middle of games. I need to explain this to you guys, and let me know if it freaks you out or not, or if you think it's awesome. It's kind of ridiculous to think about, but during this run that they've been on over the last year and a half, they have never trailed in a series. Now, that may not be stunning, because they've only lost four games. And every series they've won has either been 4-1 or a sweep. Four of them have been 4-1. One of them was a sweep. That's when they beat the Pacers last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. But in all of those series, Sean, where they've lost a game, they have not lost a game one. So if the Knicks could win tonight, very simple, it would be the first time in this recent run, dating back to when they almost came back from 3-0 down, where the Celtics would even trail. Because if you go back...
That's pretty insane.
It really is, and that's why it's a small thing. It doesn't mean, well, you punch them in the face tonight, they won't respond. They are the defending NBA champions, but I remember when they won the title last year, one of the knocks placed on them, I didn't think it was fair, was, who'd they beat? Were they really tested?
That's right.
And the reality is you got to beat who's in front of you, but the only tests they really had was losing a game two at home and going on the road in an even series. When they played the first round last year against Miami, they won game one, they lost game two, they won the next two games on the road, closed it out in game five.
And effectively ended the Heat now.
And effectively ended the Heat, yes. And then last year, when they played Cleveland, same thing. They won game one, they lost game two, they won the next three. They swept Indiana. Against Dallas, they won the first two games at home. Then they lost a game on the road and finished them out in five. So they have not trailed in a series since... the 3-0 failed comeback against Miami 2 years ago.
Now that you say this, and you put everything in perspective, I think you're even more dead wrong about this being such a big upset. The Knicks to the Celtics right now, and I actually think this includes the Mavericks of last year, pose the best starting five the Celtics will have seen over the course of the last two postseasons.
Mm.
I really believe that.
That's fair. When you think about who they face, when you think about a Maverick team that got broken up less than a year after the Celtics beat them, I think from a talent perspective, I agree. From a talent perspective, doesn't include coaching, doesn't include bench, doesn't include all those other aspects that you look at when analyzing a best of seven series. But from purely starting five talent, I would agree with that statement.
No doubt about it. The Knicks have a chance here. This is why it's not that big an upset.
Well, it is a big upset. And you got Don't minimize it. It's not an upset.
You got the king, too.
See, you're being very... What's he doing, Tommy? How do you describe it?
He's being condescending.
No, I'm not.
He's being douchey.
Yeah.
He's being deflective because his precious Giants have been put on trial here. And he keeps defending Aaron Judge, the king, who once again in a big spot on Saturday grounded out meekly.
All right, this is where I have to turn on you now.
We were teaming up on Sean,
and now I've got to stop.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a trivia question. And this is the beauty. We're bringing all the sports together, right?
Trivia question.
Do you know Aaron Judge's batting average with runners in scoring position this year?
Okay. I don't, but give it to me.
550.
Now do it from the seventh inning on. I'm sure it's not, actually. Because he's come up a couple times in a big spot. End a game in this season, and he's done squadouche.
You're really going to get on Aaron Judge's season this year? Like, if you want to get on what he did in the postseason last year, it's fair game, I'll join in.
Huh.
The guy's hitting .423. I mean, what the hell is wrong with you?
Okay. I also haven't brought up Aaron Judge today. You have.
No. Not today, but on Saturday in our Evan and Tiki group chat.
Oh, so now you do check it on weekends.
Of course I do.
Hold on. There's a stat called Leighton Close.
Yep.
And Leighton Close, he's 3-for-7 with a home run. That's a .429 batting average and a .1556 OPS.
Tommy, I used to go out with you at the bars late night. That's a better batting average than you ever had.
Very nice.
Yeah, hanging, banging. Well, 3-for-7 gets in that kind of Hall of Fame, too. So Saturday at 1:20 p.m.
You're picking what at bat, bro?
Can I just reference this? Saturday at 1:20 p.m., Judge hit a solo homer? We get this text from Sean Resch. Judge, LOL, right? Yeah. So then later in the game, when Judge came up in a big spot and grounded out like he usually does, I wrote back, Judge, LOL.
Yeah, Judge, LOL. Of course he's not and King. It's Brunson.
He didn't get it done in the big spot.
And just to give you perspective on the relationship we all have, the only person that responded to Tommy Lugauer when he decided to try, and I admit, try to take a crap on the great Aaron Judge by making fun of him for making it out late in the game was Tiki Barber. By the way, Tiki didn't respond to anything this weekend. But this is the one return fire. When Lugie writes Judge LOL, Tiki's response, stop. He's hitting .432. And mashing. So you got Tiki to stop his weekend in Orlando to basically slap you back in the head.
Well, because everybody wants to run to Aaron Judge's defense. Did he get it done when the chips were in the middle? No, he didn't.
Don't make me do this. I'm going to have to do it. We're bringing in the Yankees. We're bringing in the Giants. Mm-hmm. We're being very universal. Pete Alonso struck out with the bases loaded and one out yesterday.
Don't make me do this.
Why? Because it was a ball?
No, you're setting me up.
Because it was a ball?
What did I say last week? I will never go after the refs or the officials.
Well, it was a ball. Fine.
You know what?
From certain vantage points, I would say it's outside.
I feel great in this chair. I want to tie the whole show together. Tommy, can you do a little research for me? Has Aaron Judge in any postseason in his career been as big an underdog as Jalen Brunson's Knicks are in this series?
I would assume they would be this year based on your logic of them not making it to October.
No. Just come back to me with the numbers in like an hour. 4:30, we'll revisit.
Sean, hold on. No. Before I answer that. This is in the weeds. They're never going to make the Yankees a very public betting team, an underdog in a series of the level that the Knicks are.
Or the Astros series?
And it's not just the Yankees. I'll tell you this, Sean, and I was doing some research about this before the show. It's very difficult in baseball to be that big of an upset because of the nature of the sport. So I was looking at the World Series over the last 25 years because another one of those big New York upsets that doesn't get the same attention as an upset but was an upset was the 1996 Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not fair to say?
Absolutely.
They're facing the defending world champion Atlanta Braves.
Right.
They're facing a loaded rotation, and we didn't know the Yankees were a dynasty yet.
The Yankees weren't the Yankees yet.
They were not. They were in the World Series, courtesy of the help of a terrible call in Game 1 of the ALCS.
I mean, they were still getting there anyway, but
maybe.
Sure, okay.
Maybe. So the Yankees coming back, and yes, being down 2-0, losing the first two games at the stadium certainly contribute. But I went back and looked at what the betting odds were going into that World Series. It wasn't that big of an underdog. In fact, the only World Series I could find in the last 25 years that featured a significant underdog, where a team was minus 230. And just to put in perspective, the Knicks are plus 590.
Can I guess?
Let me just correct myself. The team that was the underdog was plus 230. The Knicks right now are plus 590. nature of the sport, but what was the World Series that featured that big of an underdog? And I'll give you this hint. The team that was the underdog won the World Series.
Then never mind. I'm way off. I was going to say the series the Rockies were in.
No, and they were huge underdogs, but not as big as this underdog. And they won.
I already forgot who the Rockies played in the
They played the Red Sox.
Oh, that's right. I don't watch those ones. I forget.
Yeah, A-Rod did. Yeah. He opted out.
That's right.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right, that was the opt-out series.
Do you want to guess or do you want me to tell you?
All right, you can tell me.
The Florida Marlins in 03 against the Yankees.
We don't talk about that one.
Well, I apologize.
We don't talk about that
one. I got to mention it.
We don't do that one.
We'll get to Abdul Carter because I got some big issues with him. We'll address that coming up in exactly 7 minutes. But let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Josh is calling from Smithtown. How are you, Josh?
Hey, I'm doing well. You know, when you're up late at night sometime, Evan, you're peeing in bottles, maybe you can just quickly look up and see, like, the Knicks traded for two stars, basically. I mean, Mikal Bridges is maybe a little generous to call him a star, but when was the last time a team added two stars to their starting rotation and immediately became championship team? I think this team is still a little bit of a work in progress.
The 2008, I want to answer your question. The 2008 Boston Celtics. Done.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
This will probably go to you, the IBO. But, you know, I think the one thing the Knicks have going for them is that, you know, considering not a single soul in the world is picking them and the odds being what they are, and you thinking it'll be a bigger upset than anything ever, there is really no pressure on them at all. You know, they just got to go out there.
Stop it, Josh.
And try to go do it.
The team has been in the second round two straight years and had a massive summer overhaul to get them over the hump. Now we're throwing our hands up after a 51-win season saying there's no pressure at all. Then when do the Knicks have pressure? When the Celtics basically lose Tatum to an injury for the year, at what point can we put pressure on the Knicks?
I don't like the phrase they don't have pressure. I think anytime you're in the postseason and you've got a chance to compete for a championship, there's pressure on you. But here's what I think the difference is. And I don't want to have these conversations today. I don't think anyone should have these conversations today. So I'll do it real brief. If the Knicks get annihilated in this series, if it's bad.
Well, what's annihilation?
They lose in four.
But what if all four games are tied?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Does not matter.
Because you know all series are not created equal.
I totally get that. It's a very fair question for you to ask. If the Knicks lost in four, I don't care if every game is in overtime. They lost in four straight. The conversation around here is going to be very negative. It's going to be about the coach's future, and it's going to be about the roster construction. Okay?
Yeah, I think
now there are some results that will differ to some, like a hard-fought five-game series loss or what have you. But if this is a long series, if this thing goes back to Madison Square Garden on Friday night while the Mets are playing the Yankees, and Tiki Barber kindly asks that all Yankee fans turn their back on Juan Soto, don't boo him, just turn your back. If the Knicks get to a sixth game, or dare I say a seventh game, and lose, I think there'll be a lot of what Josh just said, which is, hey, this is a new team. They took the defending champs to a seventh game. Let's improve the bench a little bit with the mid-level exception, and away we go. So I think the discourse around the Knicks will be affected based on how this series goes. Now, that's not the same as saying they don't have pressure, because you always have pressure when you're in the playoffs. But I do think, and you have to agree with that, Sean, the discourse around the Knicks will differ based on how this plays out.
So I agree, but I also think it's because I don't think Knicks fans don't want to believe, or they don't want to turn on the team because they love Jalen Brunson, right? So if they have that kind of series, right, where they lose in six here, I don't even trust that next year if they get to the postseason at Celtics again and they lose, that it's not going to be the same thing. Well, how could they be expected to beat the Celtics? At some point, don't we arrive in that spot where it's enough?
No, but you're talking about next year. I'm talking about right now.
I know what we can do is talk about right now,
but I'm being fair about right now, because there is going to be a different discourse around this team. Now, you have every right, I have every right, as a coalition of a Knick hater, to joke with Tommy and say, second round, third straight year. But if we strip that away and we have like a real discussion, like take the trolling away, the results of this series will dictate how we talk about this team.
Yeah.
It's going to dictate, Tommy, how you talk about this team.
No, absolutely. If they, and like I said, they'll win in six, but let's say they lose in seven, it's a hard-fought series. I would be stunned if any Knick fan calls for Tibbs' job, or if any Knick fan wants Cat traded or Bridges traded, because if it gets to a seven-game series, that means everybody contributed, Tibbs had a good series, and I think the overall feeling will be, I don't think they'll get a standing ovation.
No, it's not that.
But it's that feeling of, we're close.
And here's two things about this to keep in mind. One, you may not have heard about, so I'll give you some info on this. Sham Sharnia reported last week the Celtics are probably making major changes at the end of the year. Now, that doesn't mean they're trading Jason Tatum to Brooklyn, though I'd be willing to take him. It's more, are they going to be willing to pay Drew Holiday? Are they going to be willing to pay Kristaps Porzingis as the fourth and fifth best players on one's team? And so the depth of the Boston Celtics may take a big hit for financial reasons. And if you combine that with the fact that the Knicks have more wiggle room to add to their bench, yeah, if they're close in this series, it's going to be pretty easy. And I may join in with them and say, hey, okay, they're pretty damn close.
All right. I mean, I can live with that. I just have a funny feeling, and there's no way of proving this, long-term prediction, we're going to hear a lot of the same discourse 12 months from now.
Maybe. I think you're wrong. You want to hear from a Celtics fan?
Yeah, let's hear.
Now, we heard from a Celtics fan earlier who quickly hung up. He just said, Jason Tatum is your daddy. Celtics and Forney hung up. But Alex in New Canaan claims he's a very fair Celtic fan. So, Alex, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing, Evan? I call you guys every now and then. I'm a Red Sox fan. But that's the other thing I wanted to say. To me, I don't know if you include this, but when you're losing in the fourth game of the World Series to the greatest closer of all time in the ninth inning, and then you come back and win four in a row, that is the greatest upset of all time.
ALCS, yeah. But yes, point taken.
Never happened because it didn't happen in the World Series.
Now, with the Celtics, I mean, if the Celtics win four or five games, I think it's going to go five, maybe even six. I don't look for a sweep here. But the Celtics don't really, I don't think Boston, it's Boston-New York is a rivalry, but Knicks-Celtics to Boston, it's not a rivalry because, Lakers is a rivalry. They just want to get by this. They feel like you're like a mosquito. You're just annoying to them. They want to get through this.
I got that vibe listening to Sports Talk Radio this morning in Boston. They barely talked about them, and it was just like, yeah, let's beat the Knicks. And I understand why there isn't a rivalry. For me, I'm 41. For you, Sean, how old are you again?
I'll be 38 next week.
38. Tommy, you're 29?
I wish. I'll be turning 29 for the 11th time in August. I'll be 40.
For us, we literally have, if you're in that 45 and under demographic, we only have two postseason series between the Knicks and Celtics. And let's be honest, I don't think either one of them was that competitive. In 2013, true, the Celtics were a dying dynasty, and the Knicks went up 3-0. And then in the previous meeting in 2011, that Celtics were still at their strength, the Knicks were growing, and they got swept four straight. So, like, it wasn't even a rivalry then. It was cool that we had Knicks Celtics, but that wasn't really a thing. Now, you want to talk about Kevin Garnett talking about Honey Nut Cheerios?
Sure.
And Carmelo Anthony? Amari Stoudemire acting like a fool? Sure. There were memorable things from it, But Knicks-Celtics was just not a thing. And then before that, you got to go back to the late 80s and 1990. And quite frankly, again, if you're 45 and under,
you don't remember it.
If you're Beningo, you tell me about the Eastern Conference Finals in 1973. Almost blew a 3-1 lead. Game 7, Boston, we beat them. Dude, it's stuff that legends are made of, and I respect the hell out of it. But for any of us under the age of 50, it's just history.
If you want a rivalry and you want a reason to believe in the Knicks tonight, you know what you need? Nice, hard-fought game, and at the end, Josh Hart goes right up to midcourt and wipes his feet on Lucky the Leprechaun.
Don't do that.
That'll fire up the Knicks fan, and we'll have a rivalry. You don't wipe your feet on Lucky the Leprechaun.
Let me give you some advice after living through that experience. It ain't worth it.
Should we also spray sage before the game like Kyrie did that as well?
Oh, God.
I think New York-Boston can become a rivalry, and I think right now the Knicks are punching up at the Boston Celtics. The Celtics, yeah, they're on their way in their minds to a second straight NBA championship. And like I said at the beginning of this segment, it's very, very important to keep this in mind. They haven't really been punched in the face yet. They have not trailed in a series since the 3-0 attempted comeback 2 years ago. They didn't trail one time last year. They lost game twos multiple times, and other than that, they had a big lead. So it's just a completely different animal, and if the Knicks could steal tonight, that would put the Celtics in a position that they have not faced in the last 2 years.
Tommy, I have another way that you could help the Knicks steal the game tonight. Why don't you channel Dan Aykroyd and kidnap Jason Tatum for the rest of the series?
No, Dan Aykroyd.
Name
was
the
in
movie.
That movie.
Name the movie.
Celtic Pride. But it was Damon Wayans.
It was not Dan Aykroyd.
Daniel Stern.
Wasn't it Dan?
I don't think so.
It was Daniel Stern, Damon Wayans, and there was a third actor. I don't think it was Dan Aykroyd.
I don't think so either.
Celtic Pride, very underrated.
I'm
comedy.
Pretty sure I'm right. It was Dan Aykroyd. I'm a fat moron.
I'm looking at it right now. Is that Dan Aykroyd? Yeah, I guess you're right.
Oh, you guys need to apologize.
No, I never
He's
said it wasn't.
He's the first character listed in
By the
whole
way,
movie.
I never said it wasn't.
Celtic
I'm just
Pride is a 1996 American sports comedy written by Judd Apatow, big Met fan, and Colin Quinn.
How come they don't make sports movies like that anymore?
That movie was
so good.
It was great.
It was classic. Yes, you're right. It was Daniel Stern and Dan Aykroyd, and they kidnapped Damon Wayans, who starred
Shaka Khan.
You know what's funny, though? Let's say the Knicks did kidnap Jason Tatum. I think I'd still pick the Celtics.
imagine two Knicks fans getting arrested for a kidnapping and they still lose the series.
If you ever want to see Jason Tatum again, you let the Knicks win in 7 games.
All right. I have an issue with Abdul Carter. The first time he did it, it was cute. The second time he did it, I'm losing my patience. You may recall, he requested Lawrence Taylor's number. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Taylor pretty quickly said, yeah, make your own legacy, not going to happen. On Friday, on a podcast, Phil Simms was asked about, hey, would you give up 11 to Abdul Carter, a number he wore in college? Take a listen to Phil Simms' answer.
Hey, look, I told some of my friends and people around me, I said, I'd let him have it in a second. I said, can you just help it a little and make it better or whatever? I think it would be a lot of fun. It wouldn't bother me. But
would you really? Really, though? I mean, that's a pretty big honor, the 11. You're not going to give it up,
is,
right?
Yeah. It's just whatever. I don't know. I just go, if they really want it. But my wife, I don't know if my family said anything. The boys didn't say anything. But my agent, all of them, don't you dare give up that jersey number. Well, first of all, Bill Carter's going to ask for it. But if he would have, if it was up to me, I probably would give it to him.
So based on that, Phil's family gets to Phil and says, what the hell are you doing? You're not giving up 11. And so Phil Simms comes out and says, look, I'm not giving it out. My family vetoed it. But my issue isn't with Phil and his family, though we'll address that in a few minutes. Abdul, you haven't done a damn thing in the NFL. You've been a New York Giant for 30 seconds. His first actions as a Giant is to blatantly say, I want 56 from LT, and now imply, I want 11 from Phil Simms. And what are we doing? Like, how is this not embarrassing to the Giant fan? A franchise with a proud legacy.
Are you
this
serious?
Guy hasn't done anything, and you're okay with him going out there and saying, I'll take 11, I'll take 56.
I am. He had a conversation. All you have to do is have a conversation. He had a conversation with LT. It got shot down. Here's my issue. My issue is more with Phil Simms and Abdul Carter.
Phil Simms did nothing wrong.
Yes, he did. And I love Phil. When Phil says on that podcast, and I quote, you just heard it, I'd give him number 11 in a heartbeat. Phil, with all due respect, you're using your family to deflect. You really wouldn't give him a heartbeat.
No.
What is this? He's alive and well. What is his family going to do with it? It's his number.
Let me tell you something about Phil Simms. And I don't even know him that well. I've met him a couple of times, but there's something pretty obvious about Phil Simms. If you listen to him with Boomer and Geo, if you watched him on TV for all those years, he is a humble guy.
He is.
No, hold on. A lot of guys aren't humble. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There's nothing wrong with not being humble. Lawrence Taylor is a, are you effing kidding me kind of guy?
Right.
I think Boomer's that kind of guy, too. Like, no, I'm proud of my legacy. I'm not handing you my number. And there's nothing wrong with that. Phil Simms has a very, aw shucks, I'm a good guy, not going to ruffle any feathers. I'm proud of what I did, but I'm from the Bob Uecker school of mocking what I did. Now, anyone who watched Phil knows he's a great player. Joe always used to argue he's a Hall of Famer. So he's a great football player who plays the humble game. You know who also does that? Ron Darling does that. Yeah. Not saying Ron's a Hall of Famer, but listen to the way Ron Darling talks on SNY versus Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez is like, I ain't giving anything back. I was a damn good player. And Ron Darling's like, ah, gee, I'm just so happy to let me pitch the second game of the season. And that's what makes Ronnie such a nice guy. Like, it's a great quality. He's a humble guy. All Phil did in that clip was be humble. He gets home. He doesn't want to give 11 out to a guy who hasn't done a damn thing in the NFL.
Then he could answer that differently, Evan.
His personality.
But you could be humble and answer. Definitely be like, look, it's just a number, but it was a great honor to have it retired by the Giants. There's a million other numbers out there. I personally, at this time of my life, still like to have it retired.
Why is this kid putting Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor in this position to say no?
Great point. You know why?
What?
Because the Giants put him in this position when they unretired Ray Flaherty's number.
I disagree with
you. No. We all agreed at the time, what do you mean? The Giants are going to unretire numbers? And we all agreed after it was done, we all learned a little bit about Ray Flaherty and his family allowed it. I understand all of that. And Malik Nabers wearing number one was fine. The truth is, whether we want to admit it or not, the Giants were at such a vulnerable state in their franchise when the owner watched Saquon Barkley leave and all the embarrassment and all of that, that they wanted to have their new star basically cater to him. And they gave Malik Nabers number one and unretired a number. The moment you do that, you open up the gates for this. If I'm Abdul Carter, I'm drafted higher than Malik Nabers. I think I'm going to be great. Why wouldn't I say that? So I don't blame the kid for asking for 56 and 11. The Giants opened up this can of worms last year with the freaking number one.
Do you honestly think Abdul Carter knows anything about Ray Flaherty?
Do I think he knows? No.
Do you think he knows anything about what happened last year?
Yes.
I don't think so. I don't think he knows.
You don't think his agent informed him, by the way, if you want this, the Giants unretired a number from Malik Nabers last year?
No, I think it's about a kid who's got great confidence, and that's awesome.
But it's gone way too far.
So if
by that nature, a kid like that who never saw Lawrence Taylor play, he's well aware of Lawrence Taylor, but he has no idea through his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, that the Giants unretired a number last year?
I don't think that was the impetus of this. No.
How about just through social media? He could just see it online.
I don't think that's the impetus of this.
It was a huge story at the Giants.
I think this is about a kid who may well be a great player. And I hope he is. But I don't know how this isn't rubbing you the wrong way.
It's not. Because the Giants told me as a fan, you can ask for your number to be unretired.
No, I have a theory.
Let's go. Let's hear your theory.
And unfortunately, I'm going to be outvoted by everybody because I'm surrounded by Giant sycophants. Except for you, Rosie. I guess you could be honest. I think they're so desperate, and I get being desperate. I'm a Jet fan. Trust me. I think they're so desperate to turn this around that they're okay with what the great young player is requesting. But if this was 2012, you would not be good with this. If Jason Pierre-Paul came into this league and said, I want 56, you'd be like, who the hell are you? And I think that your badness has turned you guys, not all Giant fans, but specifically you two, because you've defended it, into whatever, gee, just give us whatever. We'll take it.
What changed for me as a fan is what happened last year. I was against it, unretiring numbers for a guy who's never played. And then the moment it happened, and you saw how little a deal it actually was in real life, I realized, not that big a deal.
Well, no.
The number stays retired.
Because it was a guy that most Giant fans hadn't heard of versus legends like LT and Phil Simms.
That doesn't matter.
It matters to why there was no reaction to it last year.
With all due respect, that I know they're living. They're very much with it. Do you know how long ago Lawrence Taylor and Phil Simms played? You brought up the idea of 45 and younger. There's not that many 40 and younger people that have seen Phil Simms and LT.
But, Sean, here's the difference. When it's the generation right before you, right?
Okay.
Because I agree with you. I saw LT play his last season in the NFL. Yeah. Like, I didn't see LT in his prime. Same thing with Phil Simms. It's still different than the guy that was 70 years earlier because your dad's telling you all about it.
Great.
Like, you named your daughter after Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, sure, great.
You didn't watch him play.
And I hope my grandkid is named Carter.
But would you have named a son if you had one after Charlie Connerly?
If my dad told me stories about
Charlie
Connolly.
But that's my point, because that's another generation.
So now am I going to give a crap about what my dad said? That means a number doesn't get retired?
No, I'm saying that that's the difference between asking for Lawrence Taylor's number and Phil Simms' number.
What's the worst that happens? We're going to forget that Phil Simms wore 11 and LT wore 56?
It's not that. It's not that it's the worst thing that could happen. It's that, dude, it's over the top ridiculous.
Stop it. I'd unretire Babe Ruth's number today. It's enough already.
Yeah, my stance on this, and it's not just the Giants, it's any team. If the player's okay with it, and if they're living or dead, if they're dead, and if their family's okay with it, and then if John Mara signs off on it or any owner, then I don't care. It's a number. I'm not a gatekeeper for that. If the family's okay with it, if the player's okay with it, if ownership's okay with it, then
but before we get down that road, how about the player asking for it? So let's say today.
He didn't ask for Phil Simms' number, though.
No, he alluded to it. He definitely alluded to it.
No, he did not.
Yes,
Phil
did.
Phil kind of brought it up because he was asked about it.
We know he directly asked for LT's number. He never directly asked for Simms'
right.
number. But again.
So now we're playing the semantics game?
Yeah.
He asked for Lawrence Taylor's number.
So the semantics game is what the Giants told us last year from ownership down is, if a player's dead, you could ask for their number. If not, don't bother.
Would you be okay if Brett Beatty, who just got recalled, said, you know what? I lost 22 to Soto. Fine. I got a car out of it. I want to wear 31. Would you be good with that?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
If Mike's okay with it, and if
Mike's
Steve Cohen's
okay with it,
yes, it's his number.
You'd be okay with watching Brett Beatty with 31 for the Mets?
It's not my number. It's really, so in the case of Lawrence Taylor, I believe it's actually really John Mara's number. He owns the freaking team, but Lawrence wore it. It's Lawrence's legacy.
Oh, my God. What happened here?
It doesn't mean Lawrence Taylor is not the greatest defensive player of all time.
Let's be real.
His number's being worn.
We're talking about literal number retirements or not. I ask you, Evan, what is a bigger disgrace? The Giants' third overall pick that everybody thinks is unanimous to be a superstar in the league wearing 56 and 11, or Mason Crosby kicking wearing Tiki's number?
Well, but they didn't retire the number.
Okay, but that's my point, though.
It's a different argument.
They've already juggled whose numbers get retired, who's not. That's a bigger disgrace.
I guess I have more respect for franchises history than you guys. You guys have no respect for it.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
That's
the toothpaste is now out. And there's no negative if you're going to ask for it for Abdul Carter. Big deal. They say no. He's still going to play for the Giants.
Here's the negative. And obviously, you guys don't feel this way, and that's okay. If the Jets drafted someone in the first round and he went around asking for legend numbers, I would already have a bad taste in my mouth about him. I would hope he's great because at the end of the day, I want my team to be great. So obviously, you want Abdul Carter to be a superstar. But I'd always have this, who the hell do you think you are, man? Like, boy, you better be an all-time great.
But I love that.
You
love
it now
pressure.
Because he hasn't done anything yet.
Guys who don't have the confidence, don't ask for the numbers.
Let me ask you a question, both of you. I want you to make me a promise. Let's say, and I don't want to say I'm rooting for this kid to be a bust. I'm not. Other than this, like, I hope he's a wonderful player. But let's say he's not. Let's say he struggles. Let's say he's even like Kayvon Thibodeau, where there's an argument on if he's a bust or not.
Thibodeau.
Right? Whatever. Will you guys ever, in your passionate rants about the Giants, will you bring this up? Or will this always be dead to you? Or will you say, this guy wanted 56?
Nope.
He can't.
Nope.
Like, you're promising me you'll never bring this up?
I'm promising you because I can't blame the player after the Giants did this with Malik Nabers.
Yeah, I refuse to. I think you're full of crap. How about you, Tommy?
I will never say it because my stance remains the same. I don't care. If the player doesn't care, the family doesn't care, and the ownership doesn't care, then I don't. It's their number, not mine.
Yeah. These guys are so desperate for winning. If we had, we have a new audio drop coming from the voice guy here at WFAN, and it's going to be, Paul Turner, the voice guy?
Yeah.
It's going to be... You're listening to a New York Giants circle twerk on WFAN. And that's what this would be.
I don't even think we need Paul the voice.
You just
nailed it.
Like you're twerking. You know what I mean?
You don't have to explain. We know the twerk.
Just explain.
We've seen a twerk in our day.
We'll get back to your phone calls coming up at 888-808-1019. A lot of strong opinions on what the Knicks need to do to upset the Celtics. And if they do upset the Celtics, would this be a bigger upset than the New York Giants knocking off the New England Patriots?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.